This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Today, Mother's Day, and I'm here, away from my mother. I suppose this makes me a bad son, because I have been here for years on Mother's Day. Fortunately, I have a great mom. She understands that my love for her isn't displayed by whether or not I can find a substitute for my show. But then I consider my mom great for lots of reasons. First, it took a while, but my mom doesn't call me early in the morning anymore. When I had a job that didn't even finish until 2 a.m., she was still calling me at 8:30. But finally, she learned I was more of a night owl anyway, so now the phone rarely rings before noon at my place. Unless, of course, my girlfriend is staying over. Then the phone starts ringing at 8:30. I hope her family and friends will soon accept that she's a night owl, too. My mom always took us traveling across the country. There was the 3-week car ride with an 8-year-old and 2 2-year-olds. God bless my mother. Then the yearly ski trips and the regular trips to the beach. Yes, I was quite spoiled. But I also knew what Tom Sawyer's caves looked like and Roquefort dressing tasted like, and the view from the Mesa Verde Indian Park as well. And that was all before I hit double digits in age. Mom only showed mild anger or frustration with me, as when I left the big freezer open and everything inside thawed overnight, including the case of fish for bait that I had put in there the night before. She's always looked out for us in a nutritional manner, usually after reading a book telling her the importance of such behavior. We didn't keep sugared cereal in the house for a long time. I don't know if that book told her it was to save the family some money or because she actually thought we might like Special K or Product 19. She made her own mayonnaise as well, although without the many chemicals it comes out slightly pinkish. Then there was the removal of chocolate. Well, that was difficult because Dad liked chocolate sauce on his ice cream. That house rule was quickly vetoed. But I love my mom. Special memories, quirky traits, unconditional love. Who wouldn't love her back? Although I am a little upset with her this year. In the past, I always called her from the studio to start this program, but this year she had some lame event to attend. One of my sisters is having her son baptized this hour, and she wouldn't take the call from the pew seat. My mother really owes me for this. So happy Mother's Day, everybody. We'll be doing our Mother's Day thing in here, especially to those folks in Harrisonburg on 95.1. This might be your first Mother's Day with us. Anyway, thanks for joining in. We're going to have a pretty good program for today. I think we have a nice couple folks here. And you're welcome to call in during any time during the hour and participate as well. Talk about your mother. Tell us what it's like to be a mother. Let's introduce our mothers. Ladies, we're just going to go by first names. If you want to mention your all your names and your kids' names, that's up to you. But I'd like to let it be known about how this could be any mother. All right, over here we have Vicki. Vicki, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Thanks for coming in on your special day.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Vicki is here. You are married. You have three young children, correct?
Yes, and I think I should mention their names.
Toss it out there.
They would be unhappy if I didn't. Gibbs is 5, and Thomas and Reagan are twin 2-year-olds.
Ooh, that's a boy and a girl, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and I have younger twin sisters. So, Gibbs, man, I am all with you. I understand that completely, what it's like to have younger twins.
It's a tough road for him, but he is the best big brother there ever was.
I can't claim that. We also have in the studio today, we have Molly. Molly, how are you?
I'm just fine, Rick. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I think we're going to have a good hour today. Molly, I invited because you had a strange setup, at least seemed unusual to me, that you had your first daughter. And then 16 years later, before you had your second daughter.
Right, right.
And so that's really stretching out the trauma that goes with having kids.
I will be raising children all my life.
That's a long time period of dependency on your
yes,
tax forms.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming in today. And again, if you want to call in during the program and talk about your mother, you want to call in and talk about what it's like to be a mother, feel free. 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I guess my mom is and they're listening to the singing the opening hymn or something at the moment, so I can't call her today. All right. Let's get started with some of the easier questions to make everyone comfortable here. Molly, we'll start off with you. Things that you have found or considered to be most important in raising your kids?
Well, I think you have to set reasonable limits. I think you have to know when to come down hard on them and when to let them spread their wings on their own.
Do you think that those are community-wide things, or are those things that are just for you and your family? I mean,
I think on the whole, most mothers feel the same way.
Yeah. Toss out a few.
Toss out a few.
I'm curious.
I don't think you should be manipulative to try to get your way with your children. I know some mothers that try to do the guilt routine. I have never tried to do that. I think you also need to let your children make their own decisions, good and bad. They learn from this. We all make mistakes as we grow up. I think one of the most important things is learning to let go.
And now your children are older than Vicky's.
Considerably. They're both adults now.
Yeah.
My youngest is a junior in college, and my oldest is on her own, self-supporting, owns her own home, and is doing quite well.
Well, all right. Now, Vicki, all in agreement on that? Have you found some things that that you focus on that might be a little different? Your kids
no,
being younger?
I'm just listening really carefully to Molly because this is all great advice. My kids are still little and I'm still trying to figure it out. But
what have you focused on at this point?
Keeping them alive.
You mean from? Is this from from battering each other because of each claiming their own property and space, or other reasons?
All of the above.
All of the above. All right. That leads me to the next question about what are sort of the fears that you have for your kids. Let's start with you. Your kids are much younger.
Well, I feel very fortunate right now because I'm enjoying this time, because the fears that I have for them, I feel like I have control of. For instance, keeping them from running in the street or keeping them from eating something they shouldn't.
Do you read those books too, like my mother did?
I try to. But I mean, I guess the fortunate thing that I have right now is that they're younger and I still have control over them. That's why I said I'm listening to Molly, because
I no longer have control over them.
Exactly. And the teenage years are going to be a whole new challenge, and I'm kind of cherishing these times when I actually feel like I do have some control over them.
How much of that control do you still have? What percentage of the things that you're concerned about that are fears are things that you can control? Okay, you can prevent them from running in the street. You can teach them not to do so. You can put the little safety plugs in the socket electrical outlets in your house. You can make sure that when they're out in the backyard, they're not eating the mud. And I'm not trying to be the negative
person who's
raising the awful aura of, you know.
No, Rick, I think
culture,
about that all the time. That's probably the first thing I think of every morning when I wake up around 5 o'clock, and that is, I just thank God that we made it through the day safely the day before, because quite honestly, you know, they are not always under my watchful eye, and we're just I feel really blessed that, you know, nothing has happened in the past. And with toddlers and 5-year-olds, you do worry about them, especially when they start getting their independence, like our 5-year-old riding his bike on the cul-de-sac and just starting to venture out a little bit. I do think about those things all the time, and you just do your best.
Molly?
Yes.
I'm curious as to, you said let your kids make some of their own decisions. At what point in their age did you let that happen? Because obviously at age 5, I would assume that you're not going to let your child decide that they want to ride the bike outside of the cul-de-sac and over, you know, 3 blocks.
Well, it depends on the child. Some mature more quickly than others, and some are tamer than others. My oldest child was my wild child. And I think I started to let her make more of her own choices probably when she was around 16 and got her driver's license. Of course, at that point, I didn't know where she was all the time or what she was doing. And so I had to trust that she was making the right choices. And I know sometimes she didn't. With the younger child, I let her make her decisions earlier on because she seemed to be the wiser of the two. And I think on the whole, she's done pretty well with that.
Is your older child listening?
I'm sure she is.
Are you going to catch any grief for
Probably.
That comment?
She knows how she was. I was not an easy child myself, and my mother always said, Molly, God's going to get even with you someday. And he did.
You mentioned the difference in the children. And question goes out to both of you, certainly, is the difference, the different ways in raising them. You mentioned the different personalities between the two of yours. And also, as I mentioned to start the program, as we talk about Mother's Day here with Molly and Vicki and anyone who chooses to call in and join us, 16 years, a big time frame for the average person. I was reading the internet story the other day about the woman with horrible, horrible decision-making process who now has 18 children. but you've got 16 years between number one and number two.
Right.
How do you, what percentage of that difference came from personality in the kids, and what percentage came from change and maturity and et cetera, and yourself, the mother?
Oh, a lot. I was definitely, well, children don't come with instructions when you have them, and you have to kind of wing it and learn your way as you go. And with my first one, I was relatively young. I was 24 when I had her, and I only had the privilege of having her father with us for the first 5 years, and then I had to raise her on my own. And I was inexperienced, and I was immature, and I had a lot of learning to do. With the second child, we did have her father with us the entire time, and it was a definite difference in having someone to share the responsibilities with. So I think I also had the privilege of sharing someone's making the decisions with me. So the second child was easier.
Vicki, your kids are all young, 5 and 2.5 for the twins. Are you treating the twins at 2.5 the same way that you treated Gibbs at 2.5?
No, I think my son Gibbs had a lot tougher time. We rode him a lot harder because we just expected a lot more out of him, and now we're a little more tired. We let him get away with a little bit more.
I think you pick your battles.
Yes, you do. You pick your battles, and with two of them, you pick a lot less.
Yeah, I always said that my twin sisters got everything.
I believe
so unfair in our household.
There definitely is a difference with the second child and second children. But one thing I wanted to mention that I always think of as a mother, and that is when we had our first son, we sort of took credit for all the things that he did well and took blame for all the things that he, got into trouble or whatnot or didn't act properly. And it just is completely personal. And when you have, when I had the twins and they're completely different, and what I discovered was, as good a mother or as bad a mother as you are, a lot of it comes from just their personality. Because I noticed that I was still the same mother for both the twins, but they were just completely different. And I came to the realization that I really shouldn't have taken all the credit for what a good boy my first son was, and probably shouldn't have taken all the blame either. And I think that's important for mothers to know, too.
All right, 11:18 here on the Wake Up Call. As we talk about Mother's Day, a couple of mothers in the studio. We have Vicki, young kids, 5, and a couple 2-plus-year-olds. We have Molly with an older daughter who's in her 30s, and we have a younger daughter in her low 30s, by the way, and her second daughter who's in college at this time with a 16-year gap between the two. Let me take a moment and give you the weather for today. There is a flood watch out for Charlottesville, the Valley, Lynchburg, until 2 o'clock Monday morning. That's right, a flood watch to Charlottesville over in the Valley and down in Lynchburg until 2 p.m. Monday morning. There's a chance of rain this afternoon. Today, highs 55 to 60, and rain with a chance of thunderstorms tonight, lows 45 to 50. Obviously a little heavy there. Cloudy with a chance of rain tomorrow. Highs 55 to 60. Right now, cloudy in most areas, with a little rain in Lynchburg. 55 in the Valley, 52 in Lynchburg, 56 in Richmond, 52 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
As a Mother's Day present, if you haven't gotten one yet, additional support coming from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project that your mother wants, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates, available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. Let me also take a moment and tell you about a really cool thing coming up. WNRN appreciates you listening. And because of that, we're offering a limo-driven wine tour on Saturday, May 17th. The tour will stop at Kluge Estate, Oakencroft, Varitas, Cardinal Point, and Afton Mountain Vineyards. Be listening for several giveaways from Sips, the Wine Cellar, and Market Street Wine Shop that will qualify you for the wine tour drawing on Wednesday, May 14th at 5 in the afternoon. The winner and up to 6 friends will spend the day chauffeured by Cameron Limousine to area vineyards for wine tastings. Keep listening to win only here on WNRN. All right, back in action, 979-0919. You want to call up and talk about your mother or talk about what it's like being a mother with Molly and Vicky here on today's Wake Up Call Mother's Day show. Vicky, I want to talk a little bit about, because you said you were comfortable with it, talk about the effort that went into becoming a mom, because it wasn't the standard health class thing for you and your husband.
No, it wasn't. Mark and I were married for, I'll probably get the math wrong, so I'm not even going to try, but for many years before we started to have children, or started to try to have children. And then when we began to put those efforts in, we were not successful. So with the help of a lot of doctors, we have our children. I don't know how much you want me to get into it, but...
Well, we can avoid the scientific, part where make people go, this is inappropriate for church hour. But, you know, whatever you're comfortable talking about here, because my understanding is that it was a medical...
Miracle.
Yeah.
Well, we went through... we worked with a wonderful doctor in Richmond, Dr. Steingold. And he has does an in vitro clinic, and basically in vitro is a very extensive procedure
and expensive
and expensive, yes. But we were pretty bullheaded, and we did want to have children, and it seemed like the odds were against us if we didn't go through the process. So we met with Dr. Steingold and found out about it's a long process of medications and surgeries and lots of.
Can you tell me how long that process took from when you said, "All right, you know, honey, if this is what we want to do, have kids, then this is how we need to do it."
Sure. Well, first of all, I did a research project with endocrinologists at UVA where we basically tested to see if I was going to be responsive to the drugs. And basically, they're drugs that that help stimulate your egg production. And when we went through that, then we found out that that was going to be successful. And that's what most people do when they're going into this process. And then... It's about a month on certain drugs, and then they harvest your eggs, and then they fertilize them in a test tube, and that's where the term test tube baby comes from, and then they implant the eggs back into you, and then you wait and to see what which eggs are going to
catch.
Thank you, Molly.
I'm not sure how, well, I guess we now know that you are pretty open about this in terms of, you know, I guess it would be inappropriate for the person off the street to walk up, but certainly with family and friends, you've had this conversation, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
And do you get weird looks? Do you find that... the neighbor who ends up finding out about this looks at your children differently?
Yeah, I wonder if they are, they're hiding it quite well. But I think that nowadays, especially when a lot of people are turning to doctors for help, since a lot of mothers are starting later in life trying to have children, I think that it's more common than not. I think the extreme that we took was probably a little bit more rare, but I think that most couples, or I don't know what percentage there is, but I know that a lot of couples are faced with similar.
When you say the procedure you took being rare, is that actually being the test tube method, or is there something that I missed?
I think the fact that, yes, that we went through all the way through in vitro, because there's a lot of people who use fertility drugs and do insemination, and that's a little less... intrusive and a little less, there's a lot less procedures with that. It's just a different process. But I think there's a high percentage of people who get involved with that just because I think a lot of couples are waiting late to have children a little later in life and running into some issues as far as their fertility.
Is that how you ended up with twins?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
I mean, I see that Learning Channel show.
I think it's more likely for both procedures, both artificial insemination where they just give you drugs to sort of stimulate egg production. It's more common to have multiples because normally you have one egg each time, but with the drugs, you stimulate more eggs to be produced. And the reason they do that is because they feel like there's more chances of you actually having a successful pregnancy. And so the chances of having multiples are significant because you're implanting multiple eggs instead of just one.
Is there, you know, something to, as the, you know, the follow-up, as someone who's been through this, you know, I have this vision of like the online room, you know, chat room where you, you know, tell somebody who's of that age, that time period where they haven't been successful and who's, you know, might be listening, who doesn't know, is that the step to take that you say positive and concern? Obviously, the positive, I guess, is that it worked.
Right. And I think possibly some couples rush into a little bit faster than they need to just because it's a higher guarantee that you're going to be successful in getting pregnant. But I would recommend it. The only downside is the expense. Are you asking me if there's the positives and the negatives?
Well, I guess I just want to make sure that we, by me bringing that up, that there's a realistic view to it, that, you know, as someone who's here saying, yes, we thought hard about that and we did so, and look what happened, I now have three kids out of it, that the person on the other end who's listening doesn't go, sweetie, you know, guess what I heard? We'll go back and listen to the podcast so you can hear the whole thing.
Right.
And that, you know, yes, it worked for you. And it's obvious by, you know, your beaming, knowing that your kids are listening on the other end of this and you're very happy with what happened. But it was a very expensive, was it a long, drawn-out process?
Well, it certainly seems it at the time, and it's quite involved, you know, there's all, but I guess every woman's situation is different because, for instance, the medical reasons why I couldn't get pregnant are different, perhaps, than other people. Some people can't get pregnant because, well, I wouldn't even start to guess, but there's all different reasons why women can't get pregnant, and some of them are require more medical treatment, and some.
Do you think this makes you a more loving mother because of the effort? Because of the effort that went in.
My mother-in-law always says that. She says, "Oh, they're going to be so excited to know how hard you tried to get them." I hope so.
Okay. All right, they're talking with Molly and Vicky. Vicky talking about, I guess, the medical ways that went into starting her motherhood. 11:29 on the wake up call. I'm curious, Molly. You had your daughters so far apart in age, and we mentioned that earlier. 16 years. Did your older daughter help in being a mother in any way?
Oh, no. we had jealousy issues, severe jealousy issues, and she found that her sister was nothing but a bother and really did not want to do anything with her. She wouldn't babysit. She just had nothing to do with her sister until her sister became an adult. And I would say that is one of the disadvantages of having them so far apart, that they were not close when my youngest one was growing up. And the advantage was I had two only children. They both got a lot more of my attention than multiples would have. And I think that helped them both become independent women, self-thinkers, they have. They both have a lot of, I think, inner confidence, which.
But you have these two dependents, and I don't mean that in a negative way, you know, in any real serious negative way, but. And for some, and obviously I mentioned that woman who's has 18 kids, that's what they choose out of life is, you know, child 9 months later, child 9 months later, child. But for you, it's, did you have a concern or any issues in regards to, gosh, when do I get my adulthood back rather than just my mothership?
Do I get time to be by myself?
Sure.
It doesn't happen very often. And I do enjoy being by myself at times. Another thing is your radar is on all the time when you have dependents. You're always on. You never get to relax completely. Even if your children are almost grown, I am not an empty nester yet, so I can't give anybody advice on that.
Oh, but we're going to come back to that because you're getting close.
Getting close, but my youngest is only 45 minutes away at college, and we see her all the time. So, and she's home every summer.
Darn. There's no time for myself.
Plus, I was given a dog for Mother's Day because my oldest thought, you need someone else to take care of. Like, it's
yes.
never going to end.
All right, we got a call here. We got Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Great show. Appreciate your guests being on there. None of us would be here without moms, obviously. I had a couple questions, mainly for the lady that has the grown-up children.
Yes.
Basically, two questions. I have been a soccer referee for years, and I constantly see, although it is improving, constantly see moms and dads just literally hollering at their kids from the sidelines to do this, do that, in really harsh tones. And I wondered if she had had any experience with seeing this and what she thinks of it. And the second question I had is, has she ever had to take away something that her children really had their hearts set on?
Oh,
they
yes.
pre-planned for, and then they, you know, messed up, and as a mom, she had to take it away. I was curious what the reaction was, and I'll just hang up and listen to her answers.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay. First of all, I was a soccer coach for my youngest daughter's soccer team for many, many years, and she went on to be an all-state volleyball player. We did not yell from the sidelines and criticize the coaches or anything like that. We always felt the coach made the right decision. We were always there to support her. We went to every single game. And I miss the fact that she's not playing volleyball in college. As far as taking privileges away, it happened with my oldest child. After she got her driver's license, she proceeded to have several fender benders due to the fact that she was talking with a friend and not paying attention. And after about the third or fourth one, I can't remember exactly, we took the keys away and her driver's license for I think about 3 months. Of course, she was dumbfounded that we would do this, and I have to tell you, it was a real hardship on me because then I had to take her everywhere and pick her up, and it was hard on both of us.
How hard was it though? I mean, how hard was it on you to do it and then stick with it?
Well, I was mad enough that I didn't have a problem doing it. Sticking with it, as I said, for the 3 months was difficult.
I'm not talking about sticking with it because it was a hardship on you to be her chauffeur again. I'm talking about
the whining, oh, Mom, please, I won't do it again.
Right, it's because I'm sure that at some point it was, okay, fine. Right, wearing you down.
Yes.
It's, you know, I said 3 months, I need to make it 3 months, but at some point around 6 weeks, it's like,
no.
All right, I think she might have learned her lesson by now.
No, we stuck it out the 3 months because she had so many accidents to begin with. And she never did it again. So obviously it worked.
And your second child, perfect? No car problems?
Oh, no, she hasn't had any accidents, knock on wood.
Because you mentioned that your older daughter is probably listening, so, you know, I want to make sure that we clarify that the younger daughter is the perfect one.
Oh, absolutely not. No child is perfect.
Wait a minute, I was a child at one point.
No.
Well, that's not true. I left that freezer thing open with the smelly fish.
The youngest child was a little bit easier to raise. Let me put it that way.
Now, how much of that has to do with the fact that you said that her father was around the whole time versus being a younger single mother? And last week we did a show, and part of which was about a young woman who had four young kids, and she was still socially active. She wanted to go out and be, you know, a woman in her 20s.
Mm-hmm. It definitely, my husband had a lot to do with it. He made things a lot easier on the child raising issue. And now he also contributed considerably with getting my oldest daughter through the teenage years, because he essentially became her father. But definitely it was because of him.
All right, we are talking about Mother's Day here. Gary, thanks for the questions. Anybody else is welcome to call up, ask a question, chat about your mother for a moment. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Vicki, we'll toss a few back to you. You and your husband own your own business.
Yes.
So how difficult is it to do that and raise three kids where the oldest one is only five?
Well, it's not easy, but we have a lot.
Do you have a nanny?
We don't. We have a lot of energy, and we have some wonderful young babysitters in the neighborhood that help us out at different times. But we don't have a nanny. And basically, we started our own business because I didn't want to be in an office, and we didn't want to be dependent on having to be at work at a certain time. And basically, we molded our business around trying to have a family. And we finally, it took us about 13 years to get there. But what we did was we created a situation where I could do a lot of the business from home. And so now I have a home office, and I try to eke out time between their naps and when they're in preschool. And we have sitters come over and watch the kids so I can get some work done. But it's worked out pretty well so far, and it gives me an opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom, in parentheses, and still help run the business.
What issues have you found from that, though? I mean, again, I don't want to be the negative guy here, but I would assume that the restaurant business is pretty much known for being, it's not the 9-to-5 job. And even if there are two of you, still, that's not the business, it seems to most people, for both members of the family to be working and trying to raise children who can't be left home to be independent and drive themselves somewhere, or, you know, one who's old enough to babysit the other two, sort of thing.
Well, we do a lot of juggling, especially, what we try to do is, for instance, well, we do use sitters, but Mark and I'll try to switch off so that if he'll take an evening off, I'll go in and work. Or, again, I'll just stay home and get paperwork done. And the kids are getting used to it. Our living room is our office, and they say that's Mommy's office. And they're used to, they'll say, Mommy's going to work. And I'll go in the office, and they'll sometimes leave me alone. But it's just a matter of a lot of juggling and a lot of creative babysitters. And we seem to somehow make it work. We're certainly not a traditional family. We're not home on, well, Mark and myself are usually not home on Friday nights. But I try to keep the time that we're away from them to a minimum.
All right,
we have some great managers.
11:41 on the wake-up call. I'm going to come back to that question in just a moment. But let me do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, there's so much activity on the local music scene that some have compared Charlottesville to Austin, Texas. Local pros evaluate the current crop of up-and-comers and try to predict the next big thing. Mac McDonald has resigned as voice of the Cavaliers. Get some take on that. And as always, the news, suffering Suffolk. Tornado obliterates lots of folks there, including some UVA grads and their home. The Hook, they support their mother as well as they should. All right, 11:42 here on the wake-up call. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And Martin Hardware, a new underwriter for the wake-up call. They are Charlottesville's headquarters for Weber Grills, from the famous Kettle Grill to the all-new Q to the top-of-the-line stainless steel summits. It's Weber for all your summer outdoor grilling needs. You can see the full line of grills plus parts and accessories at Martin Hardware, 941 Preston Avenue, or at Weber.com. In the city, delivery is included in the grills at Martin Hardware. And don't be going anywhere, because at noon, Drew Thompson just walked in the door. He's here for Les Temps Purdue, a fancy Mother's Day program from our man, Drew Thompson, only here on WNRN. All right, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If you want to get in on the Mother's Day program here with Molly and Vicky, there goes the phone. I see it ringing now. We'll hook that person up to you in just a moment. Vicki, I want to start with you. Well, I guess this question only goes out to you based on who everybody has as kids. Difference between boys and girls?
Complete difference. And with my twins, we really didn't buy a bunch of new toys, although my daughter did get some dolls and girly things for Christmas. But they completely gravitate towards gender-specific toys, and I've noticed. And it's not that we push them. It's just that... boys will be boys and girls will be girls. I've certainly found that out through personal experience.
All right. I'm going to take this call before we continue with that. Caller, are you there?
I am.
Gosh, this, I believe, is, according to my note, this is Sarah Molly's oldest daughter.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to call in and say Happy Mother's Day. Mom,
thank you.
I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
But, I wanted to defend myself, because it wasn't that I resented you having my little sister. I just thought it was gross that people your age were having sex.
We only did it once, honey.
All right, I'll see you soon, Mom. I love you.
Love you, too.
But still, there was no babysitting going on?
Nope.
Nope. I should have hit her up on that while she was on the line. I didn't get to follow through on that. 11:44 in the wake-up call. You can dial up... I don't know if Gibbs wants to dial up and say hi to his mom on air. My nephew, the one who's being baptized in the middle of
your radio
church
program.
Hour, I don't know, really ruining this for my contact with my mother. He loves to call up here. He pledged money to the last show that between Aunt Susie, not related to me, and my nephew Ren, we hit the all-time high here as Ren's $10 pushed us over the $1,200 mark. And he loves to be on air. So if Gibbs wants to dial up, if they're listening, you can hook him up. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. So Vicki, back to the son and daughter issue. You mentioned about different toys. How much differently do you have to treat them?
Well, I don't think you have to treat them any differently. I'm just saying that the
No different rules for the two? Or do you expect to have different rules as they grow?
Oh, I'm sure I'll have different rules, especially when they're teenagers. Because, of course, well, not of course, but I think I'll be more fearful of my daughter being more independent than my son's, I think.
Like your son can date at age 15, but your daughter won't be allowed to date until she's 18 and out of the house kind of thing?
35.
I don't know if it'll be that extreme, and I'm not even sure how I'm going to react, but that's just what I'm thinking at this time. And Rick, if I, this is kind of off the subject, but I thought I might mention it since we're talking about Mother's Day and mothering and raising children, and something that's been on my mind, and I think it might be something that your listeners might be interested in, that is the issue of, and especially again since we're getting into the summertime, the issue of downtime for children. And my husband and I were just talking about this morning. It's something that's been on my mind because kids just seem to be overbooked and never have any time to just
overprogrammed.
Overprogrammed.
And, there was a commercial about that, like some phone commercial I saw about that, where mom asked them about meeting for dinner, and they're like, "Oh, I'm scheduled for such and such at all these times," and they were obviously mocking the whole thing. But you're pointed out as to be a truism.
Well, especially coming into the summer, I remember growing up, and basically the summer was just a time for us to play with other kids and just be creative and figure out stuff to do and play, make up stories and games and little situations with our neighborhood friends. And I'm realizing now that a lot of kids are just being shuttled off to camp and shuttled off to practice and shuttled off to a game, and that time doesn't exist anymore. And I'm so grateful that there's a few kids in my neighborhood that are actually home when my son is home, and they just get together and play. They just make up stories and hide in the ditch and pretend like they're pirates and just all kinds of neat stuff. And I just think it's so important to their development.
Right. I have to agree with Vicki. I think that children nowadays are so overprogrammed that they don't know how to play by themselves. They don't know. They do not know what to do with themselves when they have nothing to do.
They lose all their creativity, and
They won't sit down and pick up a book to read.
That's what those stupid video games do.
Right. Exactly.
Sorry, computers. I know I sound old and
agree.
I'm the old grouch, but I hate video games,
I
and I refuse to give my nephews video games for their birthdays or Christmas. All right, we have a call here. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hi.
I believe.
That sounds like Gibbs.
Gibbs?
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Gibbs. Thank you for calling in. Do you hear yourself on the radio?
Yeah.
Hey, Gibbs, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you give your mother a Mother's Day present yet?
I made her something.
Oh, you did? And she's going to get that later?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that you were giving her something good. But if you made it, it sounds like that's something she really wants.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a great day.
Okay.
All right. Now, see, I gave my sister a hard time because her gift to my mother, or my gift, her gift to her mother was something that her son made. That doesn't count, does it? That's a grandson gift. That's not Kathy's gift.
I think grandmas would appreciate it.
It's so unfair. She didn't have to put any thought into that. Ren made something at nursery school, and Kathy, wrapped it up and sent it in. What kind of thought is that?
However, she's a mother too.
For your mother.
She's very busy.
Great. So Ren should have made her a gift. And probably did. And he made two, and she passed one along. Forwarding gifts for Mother's Day is not cool.
It's better than recycling.
Yeah, don't be copying her now. All right, we were talking, by the way, it's Mother's Day, 11:50 here on the Wake Up Call. 10 minutes left with Molly and Vicki. If you would like to call in, please do so. Things that you learned from your mothers and would like to pass on to your kids.
Certainly
for when
not
they're
cooking.
Mothers.
My mother was a very, very poor cook.
Do you cook?
Yes, I do, and I think I'm a pretty good one.
Okay.
What my mother taught me. My mother had me when she was 41 years old. I was definitely the last puppy by 10 years. And at that point in her life, of course, she didn't expect to be having any more children. But she instilled in me a great deal of self-confidence, independence, calculated risk-taking. My mother was always very adventuresome and willing to try different things. And I have tried to instill that in my own children, that change and risk, if you think about it and do it carefully, can broaden your life considerably. And the self-confidence to try these things, I would have to say that's what my mother passed on to me.
You know, everybody should be cool enough to get that, mother or not. I hope you know that everyone picked up on that, Molly. That's great. Vicki?
Thank you.
Things that you learned and would like to make sure that your kids, when they become parents, can pick up?
Well, the one thing that I think of most is, and it's along, I think, similar lines, and that is she always told me, she said, Vicki, go with your instincts because they're probably right. And she always made us feel whether it was right or not, but she always said, you are so much smarter than most people in this world. And like I said, whether that's true or not, she constantly told us that, and it gave us a level of confidence that I think is really important. I guess as a family, not only my mother but my family, that was so important to me was they always included us. They made us basically their family was what was important to them. Even though they tried to eke out some time to sneak away when we were older to a bed and breakfast or something, they always planned their weekends and they always planned our life around our family. So we took family vacations, which I'm not sure exists as much anymore. And they were geared around the age level that we were, and that was the fun that we had together.
You know, family vacations to me are still important. My dad, my parents still work. They're you know, old enough to qualify for AARP stuff, but they both my mom and my dad still go to work every day except when they are taking their, you know, bi-monthly week vacation or their extended weekend or something. But my dad wants to have a family vacation once a year, and you know, it doesn't matter whether it's, I guess now it's at the beach most of the time because the three grandkids are still 12 or younger. But as far as grandparents, my dad's mother is still with us. She goes along. And that's what it is for the week. You know, everybody's there in the house. Everybody's sharing. I probably spent more time with my twin sisters because when I left to go to college, they were 12. And, you know, the first couple summers that I actually came home, spending time with them, I was home for the summer. I was hanging out with my friends. And so I didn't really get to learn about them until they were adults. And I spent more time learning about them and hanging out with my sisters and their husbands the first family trip at the beach than I did any other time. And it doesn't stop. It shouldn't stop just because your kids go away to college. And I think my dad has proven that, and he does a wonderful job. So, anyway, that's my little piece on parenting as someone who has no children. 11:56 on the wake-up call. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. You can get your outdoor sandals from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, as well as gear for spring travel, including shorts, duffel bags, and very cool sun hats. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. And this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. All right, ladies, we are winding down to the last little bit of the program. I want to go back to the difference between boys and girls and how that plays out into age difference. Vicki, you were talking about especially when they hit teenage. Why does it matter when they hit teenage as to the difference between rules and expectations. I didn't say expectations earlier, but does that fall in there as well?
I don't know about the expectations. I guess I'll face that when they're a little older as far as teenagers. But I guess just because they'll be more independent and they'll be doing things out on their own. And so I guess I'll be more apt to be a little bit more protective of my daughter than my sons.
Molly, did you have different expectations of your kids? When they hit the teenage, let's talk about when each girl hit 13 or 14, did you have different expectations?
No, I think I expected them both to be good and trustworthy. I did trust both my daughters that they would make the right decisions. So I can't say that I was any different with the youngest one compared to the older one. I did choose my battles a little more carefully with the younger one.
Give me an example.
Oh, gee, Rick.
The hour doesn't get any easier as we wind down. Was it about who your friends were, or how late you were out, or what you were eating, or where you were driving, or what you were doing with your free time?
Well, I would, for example, with the oldest one, I wanted to know who she was going out with, where she was going, what time she was going to be home, yada, yada, yada. With the second one, it was more, will you call me when you get there, and please let me know when you're going to be home. And if
was that because they had cell phones now and didn't have cell phones 16 years before that?
That's possible. Also, I can reach her by cell phone more easily than the other one. Does that answer your question?
No, I'll skip. I'll let you out of that. All right. In the last minute, and I realize that you're talking about two different age groups here. Molly's kids being adults and old enough to understand a different sort of little tip than Vicky's. But Vicky, I'm going to start with you. Don't shake your head. Something that you want to tell your kids over the air, along with, gosh, I love you all. I'm not going to let you cop out on that. Here on Mother's Day, what's something that you're going to tell your kids so that they can look back on this?
Well, first of all, that I love them and that I life has been so much more full with them, and I couldn't imagine life without them.
And Molly, I gave you the extra moments there because your kids are older.
I have to say that my two daughters are the best thing that has ever happened to me in my life. They've been the most rewarding, fulfilling thing that I have ever accomplished.
Do either of you wonder about people who don't have kids? Females who have chosen not to have children?
Yes, I have to say I do, because I think they're going to be missing something very much, particularly as they get older. Who's going to watch out after them when they become old and feeble?
Sounds like a plan that you have down the line.
If I ever get to be old and feeble.
I can't imagine my life in the future without a family. And I sometimes hope that people who choose not to have children won't be disappointed with that. Although I know that there are people who just aren't set up to have children. It's not what would make them happy. And you certainly have to be, because it's a
lifetime commitment.
It's a lifetime commitment, and it's a huge challenge. But I guess.
All right. Thank you both for coming in. Happy Mother's Day to you both and to all. Happy Mother's Day to my mother, who probably won't listen to this until next week. And we're going to follow up with a similar topic next week as we talk about people with mental problems. All right. Thank you very much.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.